Rabbi Bravender's Parasha Shir for Naso from webyeshiva.org is sponsored in memory of Mrs. Mary Ruback by her family, Miriam Bat Avraham, Aleha HaShalom.
Okay, good evening. It's 8 o'clock. This is Rabbi Chaim Bravender, and we're learning something about the Parasha of Naso. This shir is brought down tonight, Lui Nefesh Nafsha, Shal Miriam Bat Avraham, Aleha Shalom, in memory of Mrs. Mary Ruback, dedicated by her family, their residents of Efrat, and very good friends of the Web Yeshiva. There's another dedication dedicated by Batya and Eddie Jacobs, wonderful friends, in honor of the marriage of their daughter Mazel Tov Nivi to Gal Navon. Well, the Jacobs do everything in a hurry, you know, they've got to get it done. And we wish them Mazel and Bracha. We want to talk tonight about the Birkat Kohanim. Everybody knows that there is a Birkat Kohanim, even today. In Eretz Yisrael, especially, Chutz La'aretz, for a reason that we don't want to go into, they don't do the Birkat Kohanim every day. But here in Eretz Yisrael, every day, the Kohanim go up in the front of the ulam, of the hall, and they bless us, those of us who are not Kohanim. And certain things about Birkat Kohanim struck me always as being strange. Let's just remind ourselves of the psukim. Birkat Kohanim. So here we have it. The first section is Birkat Kohanim, where the Be'er Shem and Moshe Lemor, a well-known introduction. Let me just see if I can get... Why do I have to keep asking to annotate? Start annotating. Here we go. Daber l'Aharon vel banav lemor. This bracha, this blessing is given to Aharon the Kohen and his sons the Kohanim. What does that mean? Well, where do they get the right to give me a bracha? What do they got, so to speak? Kotivarchu et b'nei Yisrael emor lahem. We don't know anything about Aaron HaKohen and bracha. No, I mean, what's the connection? And then we have the text. It's actually put into the Chumash. It doesn't say, give them a bracha, say something nice. It says specifically, Yivarech Hashem Yishvarecho, Yair Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yichudecho, and then the third bracha, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yisem Lecha Shalom. So if I had to summarize the brachot that the Kohanim give every single day in Eretz Yisrael, and twice when you daven, twice a day when there's a Musaf, like a Shabbos, every day, what's the point? The point is V'yasem Lecha Shalom. V'yasem Lecha Shalom? Peace? Well, where the bracha is that? I mean, what is it that we're looking for? Here I am sitting in a country that is at war. I mean, even though I personally am kind of calm about it, and I don't expect it to be terrible like those wars in the movies. Nevertheless, we're at war. And here we are thinking of V'yasem Lecha Shalom. What is this shalom that the Torah is talking about? I mean, you all know very well that wars go on all the time in the world. I mean, that we have all the information all the time. We know everything. Every time there's a war in Africa, there's a war in Asia, there's even a sort of wars in South America. Wars are wars. V'yasem Lecha Shalom doesn't seem to be possible. Doesn't seem to be possible. You know that peace was a difficult thing. The Navi Yeshayahu says, V'gar ze'evim keves. You remember that? The ze'ev, the wolf, and the keves, the sheep, are going to be lying together. I guess it means that they're not going to be eating each other up. They're going to be happy with each other. That's peace. That's what the Navi said. Along came the Rambam. And the Rambam said, what do you mean? God made the world the way it is. And the way it is that the Ze'ev does not get along with the Keves, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what the Rambam said. So the Rambam reinterpreted the prophetic statement, and he said what Yeshayahu really meant was, in politics, they're going to get along. All these nations that disagree with each other and are not happy with each other, they're all going to get along. Along came the Ramban several hundred years later, but the Ramban was a kind of a counterforce to the Rambam. And the Ramban said, what? How could the Rambam say a thing like that? The Navi says that they're going to get along. So they're going to get along. You can't argue with the Navi. You can't have a preconceived notion of what's going to be and then say, well, the Navi must have meant that as well. We don't do that. We don't do that. That's the Ramban. So he says, quote the Ramban said, when the Mashiach comes, then the Ze'ev, the wolf, will lie with the sheep, and they'll be happy with each other. It'll be the love story of the Messianic era. So I would say that what we want really, what we want, God should take care of us physically. Like generally speaking, generally speaking, Ya'er, Hashem Panav Elecha, God should look positively upon us. Like a general kind of bracha, but the third bracha, Yaseim Lecha Shalom. We turn to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim are blessing us, and they're telling us Shalom. I mean, who wants Shalom? What does that mean? What does it mean? I can understand health, wealth, happiness. But shalom, shalom. In any event, this is the problem that I always had, right? What is shalom? The last pasuk that's up here is v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael, v'samu et shemi. Somehow the name of God will be posited upon B'nai Yisrael, somehow this relationship between the Kohanim and B'nai Yisrael will leave an imprint, some of which Shemi. Rashi says, Yivarchem B'Shem HaMforash, that the Kohanim will use God's name to bless B'nai Yisrael. Imagine that. I mean, that's really, really something. V'ani avarchem. I promise, God says, to bless them, liYisrael v'askimim haKohanim. I will agree with the Kohanim. What do you think about that? D'varachem v'ani avarchem laKohanim. Another possible interpretation. One interpretation, I will bless B'nai Yisrael. The other interpretation is I'll bless the Kohanim. And as Rashi is saying, and you can't tell, both interpretations are correct. Both interpretations are correct. So let's summarize. I don't understand how the Kohanim got this job. And what was it that enabled them? What was it that enabled them to get this job? The second question is, what is the peace that we are talking about? What is the Yaseim Lecha Shalom that we are talking about? In order to understand this, I have to go to two sources. One is a story in the Gemara, and the other is Psukim in Shmot that we may have already learned on another occasion. So we could just turn the sheet. I don't want the Ramban, probably two turns. Here, no, I think back, is it back?
It's on the front page.
The Gemara, no, further, oh, here I have it, just a second. It's after Shemot Perek, that's at the end, the last thing on the page. Last thing on the page, my second bracha, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. You see it? You all see it, I hope. Tanya, there's a brighter. It's a story that's in a brighter. Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Rabbi Yishmael was a Kohen Gadol and a great scholar. Right? A Kohen Gadol and a great scholar. We don't know exactly which the Rabbi Yishmael is. Amachat. He tells a story. He, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, tells a story of when he was the Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash. Pam achat nichnasti, once, I'll tell you the story, I went in. Where did I go? Into the Kodesh, into the place where the menorah was and the Mizbeach HaZahav and the golden altar. Nichnasti lahaktir ketoret. I went in order to burn the incense. Right? That's his job. Lifnai v'lifnim. I went inside, very much inside, to the most inside that there is. That's the place of the Aron Kodesh. Place of the Aron Kodesh. I didn't say the Aron Kodesh was there. V'ra'iti akatriel. And Yudei, it's not clear what Yudei. Achatriel is a name of a Malach. A name of Malach. I'm sure that you're not all experts on the names of Malach, but the Chachamim, in the days of the Chachamim, they collected names of angels. So Ra'iti Achatriel, his name, and then Yudkei, which is like a name of God, and then Hashem Tzivaot, I saw this angel, and then I saw Shehu Yoshev Al Kisei Rab V'Nisa. I saw this angel sitting on a very high throne, especially an elaborate kind of throne. V'Amarli, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I guess, said to Yishmael, Yishmael B'ni, Yishmael, my son, you know that this story was immortalized by a song by Avraham Fried. So you could ask your grandchildren to sing the song to you when you have a minute. Yishmael b'ni, God says to Yishmael, my son, berchani, please bless me. Please you imagine this story? God is asking Yishmael to bless him. Yishmael, he's not taken aback by this. And he says, Amarti lo, I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehi ratzon milfanecha. Yehi ratzon milfanecha. It should be only your desire. Sheyichbishu rachamecha et ka'ascha. So you can't tell God, give a bracha for something. God doesn't need anything. It doesn't make any sense to say something like that. But Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, he said, Yiratzon milfanecha, it should only be Sheyichbishu rachamecha et ka'ascha, that your mercy should be greater than your anger. V'yigolu rachamecha ad v'yigolu rachamecha al midotecha. And your mercy should overwhelm your strictness. V'titnahegim banecha b'midat harachamim. And you should act to your children, that's B'nai Yisrael, B'midat HaRachamim, with mercy. V'tichanes lahem lefnim mishurat hadin, and treat them in a liberal manner. Don't be so strict about everything. Allow them a little bit of leeway. Lifnim mishurat adin, And he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shook his head, so to speak, and I understood that he accepted what I said. This is Yishmael ben Elisha, right? And he says, V'na'ana li b'rosho. And then the story ends, Kamash Malon. Kamash Malon. And I derived from this, I understood from this, Shaloti he birchat hedyot kala be'edecha, that even a hedyot, someone who is in a hedyot is usually in the world of Kohanim, a hedyot is a regular Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen hedyot is regular. So I think I would like to explain this as referring to Kohanim, to people like Yishmael ben Elisha, who was a Kohen, but he could call himself a Hedyot. Okay, so does this story make any sense to anybody? I mean, can it make a sense that God is asking Yishmael to bless him? I think this story contains the essence of a bracha. I mean, what is a bracha? A bracha is when you get more than you deserve, when you become more than you might be at the hands of God. That's a bracha. A bracha is not like regular, not like you're asking God for regular. You're asking God for extraordinary. Ask God for God. The way we spoke previously about shalom, that makes sense. You're asking God for something that doesn't really exist. So Amarti lo, look at the text again. I, Ishmael, said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiratzon lefonecha shishbuchu rachamecha et ka'azcha. What do you mean? What do you mean? You say the mercy, God's mercy, should be greater than his anger. What does that mean? Why is God angry? God is angry because he should be angry. Anger is what we suffer. We did something wrong. We acted in a way that we should never have acted. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us with anger. So Yehiratzon Shichbushu Rachamecha Et Ka'ascha, that your mercy should overwhelm your anger. And as we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu, how he should act in a particular situation where it's clear that B'nai Yisrael are guilty, they've done things that they shouldn't do. It's absolutely perfectly clear. And here's Yishmael saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehiratzon. So the first thing that we learn is that prayer is not about regular, it's about totally irregular. It's about wanting something that doesn't really exist. It's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you made the world work in a certain way, but me, as unimpressive as I may be and as unimportant as I may think of myself, I want something special. I want mercy to overwhelm anger. V'igolu rachamecha al midotecha. And mercy should overwhelm strict behavior. So you see from this story that the essence of tefillah is rachamim. Rachamim, mercy. I'm asking in tefillah, I'm always asking for mercy. And mercy is the great enabler, according to the story. Mercy enables the world to change under God. God made the world, Breshit bara Elokim, God made the world a strict world. And then, because the world couldn't exist in that kind of strictness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem bara Hashem Elokim Shamayim Baretz. So there's a modification, but that modification is not fixed. We're not sure when there is rachamim and when there is din, so we could always ask for rachamim. We always need rachamim. We always need the rachamim, the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can't make it in the world of din so well. We can't make it. So that's what Yishmael ben Elisha had to say. What Yishmael ben Elisha had to say. That God asked him, bless me. And so we understand now what bless me meant. I tell you, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yishmael, make a demand on me. Tell me that you can't do it unless there's rachamim. Tell me that. Say it. In other words, prayer. The prayer that works is the prayer that God desires. And that's what Yishmael ben Elisha was trying to teach us, that we can know what God wants of us. And what God wanted of us, according to him, what God wanted of us was ask for mercy. Ask for something that is out of the regular, that is not what everybody else wants. Ask something, ask for the rachamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have if we just do it. We just ask for it. We'll get it. But you have to know that that's what the getting means. So there's one more source before this page, Ezra. There's Shmot. Oh, here we are. Terrific. Shmot, Perek Daled, Pasuk Yud Daled. Moshe Rabbeinu said in the pasuk that's not printed here. Just a second. Just one second. The pasuk is pasuk Yudalit. Vayomer. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't think that he's qualified for the job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hey, you know, you're going to get the job. You're going to take B'nai Israel out of Mitzrayim. We'll bring the Dar Sinai, etc., etc., etc. Moshe Rabbeinu, in some odd way, doesn't think that he's qualified. He doesn't think he could do the job. It's like an impossible thing to figure out. How could a Moshe Rabbeinu think that if God appoints him, that appointment would somehow go astray or awry? It won't be the correct appointment. How did Moshe Rabbeinu think that? Somebody who thinks that way is not going to give the Torah to B'nai Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ata lech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go, v'anochi yem picha, I will be with you when you speak. V'horeiti etzer tidaber, I will tell you what to say. V'yomer bi Adonai, shlach no b'yad tishlach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, I've heard all the arguments, I'm listening to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Shlach no b'yad tishlach, Moshe Rabbeinu says, send whoever you want, but not me. Not me. Now look at the psukim. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. God was angry at Moshe. Vayomer. And how did that anger get expressed? Halo Aron achicha halevi. Yadati. Ki daber yedaber hu v'gam inehu yosei likrat v'racha v'samach belibo. God was angry at Moshe. Rashi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kochaber kol charon af shebatorah ne'mar bo roshem. Every time the verb vayichar, anger, is used in reference to God, something bad is going to happen. Ne'emar bo roshem, v'zeh lo ne'emar bo roshem. But in this particular case, Rashi says, nothing. Nothing happened. V'lo matzinu sheba onesh al yedei oto charon. Now, we never saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. He should have been punished. I mean, how could Moshe Rabbeinu be the person who doesn't believe that God could pick the right person to lead the people out of Mitzrayim? Amalo Rabbi Yossi, apazone marbo roshem. Rabbi Yossi disagreed. Disagreed with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcho. There is an implication. Aaron Achicha, that's what the Pasuk calls him. Aaron Achicha HaLevi, your brother Aaron the Levi, Sheyatid Liyot Levi V'lo Kohen. He's going to be a Levi and not a Kohen. Vakuna Aita Omer Latzeit Mimcha Me'ata Lo Yekein Elahu Aya HaKohen V'ata Levi. You see, it says in the Pasuk that before this happened, before Moshe Rabbeinu disagreed, didn't want to accept the charge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, so he, Moshe Rabbeinu, would have been the Kohen, and Aaron, his brother, would have been the Levi. And now it's switched around. It switched around. That's Aaron, Achicha HaLevi. Now he's the Levi, but he's going to become the Kohen. Yadati. What about him? I mean, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining that he was not clear. He couldn't speak. He was impaired somehow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to me, Ki yadaber yadaber. Aaron, he's a great talker. He knows how to talk. V'gam inehu yotzei likratecha. He's coming out to greet you. V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. He's going to bring simcha to this project of getting B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, something that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to do. Moshe Rabbeinu stood there listening to God direct him, and he said, I can't do it, I can't go, I can't be part of this. So again, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, first in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcho, Kol Charon Av Shebatorah, every time the Torah speaks about anger, God's anger, ne'emar bo roshem. Something happens. V'zeh lo ne'emar bo roshem. In this case, there is nothing that happens. V'lo matzinu sheba onesh al yedei oto charon. And we didn't find any place in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for not accepting the job. I mean, it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu who's not accepting the job. It's in fact the one who gave us the Torah who's not accepting the job. The ones who passed the halacha down from Har Sinai to Bnei Israel. He said, I don't want the job. Rabbi Yossi says, Af bezonem aboroshem. No. There is an implication. There is an implication because Aaron is a daber yedaber. He's a daber yedaber. He has this quality of speech. He becomes a kohen. But what does the quality of speech have to do with becoming a kohen? A kohen means you take care of the korbanot, of the sacrifices. You show the people where to go to the left, to go to the right. You do part of the service. I mean, that's what the kohanim said. No. Yedaber yedaber. Not only are the sacrifices going to be taken away from Moshe Rabbeinu, like leading the sacrificing, or running things in the Beit HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, the tabernacle? But the bracha, the speech, the words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us, that becomes the provenance of Aaron HaKohen. What does Aaron HaKohen ask for? He asks for shalom. We've already said before that shalom is not reasonable, not a reasonable request. Not a reasonable request to ask for shalom, because shalom is not something that happens obviously. It's not something that you can make an investment and get shalom. I mean, we unfortunately living in Eretz Yisrael, we see it all the time. We see it so often that we don't even take it too seriously, or as serious as we should take it. I mean, there's a war going on, and the people who live in the country that is at war are not at war. They're doing their business. They're traveling where they have to travel to. COVID-19, that was a national calamity. War? Not a national calamity at all. So shalom, we understand, is not an obvious goal. It's not something that we think we're going to get. It's not something that just happens. In order for it to happen, we have to change the world. Seriously. We have to change the world. We need a bracha. Because changing the world means changing the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. Right? And shalom depends ultimately on rachamim. And rachamim is the word that's used to describe the essential change that might take place in the world. Might take place in the world. Rachamim. So Aaron HaKohen had this quality of daber. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he didn't have that quality, that he couldn't change the world. He says he knew, Moshe Rabbeinu knew he's going to take Bnei Israel out of his tribe and they're going to do terrible things. They don't have that kind of religious stamina. They're not able to avoid idolatry. Right, they're going to build the golden calf and they're going to bow down to it. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he couldn't stop it. He couldn't stop it. He couldn't stop the golden calf. I mean, how could he possibly recreate the world for the Jewish people to live in? Couldn't. And so he demurred. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do it. What do you mean? He can't do it. He can't lead the Jews out of the tribe. He doesn't have a GPS. No. That he had. He said, "I can't change them. In order to change Bnei Israel, I need a new world. I need a world in which Rachamim dominates. I need that world." And you know that Moshe Rabbeinu got it without asking for it. After the Chet HaEgel, that's a different story. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, he's got it. He's got it. He was a Rodev Shalom in his own world, in his own life. He was a Rodev Shalom. He ran after peace. And so he was able to accept that burden. The burden of bringing shalom into the world, and the way you have to bring shalom into the world is to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we need this. We need this change. And we'll try to be worthy of it. That's what we'll say. That's what we'll say. So to summarize, Aaron HaKohen became the one who gave a bracha. And we now know that a bracha is not something you get for nothing, but it's a demand on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the way the world is. From the world without shalom, right, to a world of Vegar Ze'ev and Keves, to a world in which everything is at peace with everything else. And we see that Aaron HaKohen was the one who deserved that, from the story that the Chumash tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu's rejection, by Moshe Rabbeinu's rejection of the leadership, or attempt to reject the leadership. Finally, we take note of the story of Ishmael ben Elisha, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of asking for that blessing meaning to change something, to change the world. And apparently, I mean, it was a low point in Jewish history, and Elisha ben Yishmael, or Yishmael ben Elisha, was able to create that distinction. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a particular present that we receive, which is probably how the Anshei Knesset Gedolah knew that writing the Nusach, the formulation of davening, was the right thing to do, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Bnei Yisrael when he made Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim. Okay, have a good Shabbos. See you next week. All the best.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.